I know I said it this morning, but I want to say it again. Wes, welcome back. Do you have anything you want to say?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is great to be here. I guess the last meeting I was in was January 23rd. It was my birthday. I turned 60 years old. Little did I know, 2 days later, I wouldn't be able to get off the couch and walk to the restroom. So I've been through an ordeal out of nowhere, clearly out of the blue. But I appreciate the patience of the board and the willingness to work with me during this time.
Man, scary stuff. I know we haven't had Wes Moreno on the show for several months because he's had some, as you heard, very serious health issues. Wes, welcome back, sir. County Administrator Wes Moreno, welcome back to the show. I'm glad to have you. Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here, and it's great to feel better and great to be back in the fight. Came out of nowhere, but hey, we overcame it, and we're back at it.
Hey, man, glad for that. Man, happy birthday, belated, but happy 60th birthday. Well done. A couple of things we want to talk about. There's a lot of stuff on the agenda this morning. One thing, this is a quick one. It's not on the agenda, but the Chimes Way Skate Park, has anything been decided? Do we know what's going on with the skate equipment? You got any update for us on that?
Yeah, I think Michael Rhodes is he's either done an assessment or in the process of, and you'll see us replace some of that equipment. I don't know the exact timeline,
okay,
but you will see us start replacing some of that equipment.
All right, very good. Probably the biggest thing on the agenda might have skipped past a lot of people's notice, but a company that I frankly feel ignorant for not knowing, but West Fraser, the lumber company up in McDavid, is Project Sparrow has been revealed to be them. They're building, what, a $70 million expansion, and they're asking for an E-date, right?
Yeah, that's right. Capital investment of $70 million plus, 30 employees at $50,000 plus a year. It's a good thing for that community up there, and so they're coming in and asking for that E-date.
And they're asking for the 100% for 10 years, is that right, or are they asking for some fraction there?
I believe it's 100%.
Okay, and that's a Florida West project, so I'm assuming Florida West recommends saying yes, and I'm assuming that the commissioners are thinking, hey, we've got an existing company here, although they're an international company, but they're, you know, existing footprint here, known track record. Let's take the jobs and the investment, and if we don't make property taxes off them for 10 years, well, so be it, right?
That's right. That's right.
The other kind of somewhat big, I mean, there's several very interesting things on the agenda. The OLF 8 deal, you know, they came back and they kind of offered a change with the, you know, the county keeping the economic development slice of it, lowering the price by $14 million. They're back on the agenda today for an approval, I forget what the detail is, but where are we at with Outlying Fields and the Chad Henderson Tri-W Group?
So they're still in the process of doing their due diligence, doing their survey work, their engineering work, their development services type request. And so what's on the agenda today, a few weeks ago, I signed some documentation that would allow them to be our agent, mainly for development services type of services through the state of Florida. It would expedite the process for them to be able to seek any changes that they need to attain. So today is to ratify my signature. That's really what that is.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. It's more to expedite the process and get them moving. But where they are is, the closing date, I think, is somewhere about the first quarter of 27. And they do have an option for an extension. Of course, all those extensions come with a financial obligation. And they have continued to meet their financial obligations as we move through the process. I think there's about $140,000, $150,000 that they've put in the bank so far. And that's our money, hard money. And we'll just keep pursuing the process and keep pushing it forward.
And just to understand what is being signed over today, to me it sounds like we're the owner of the property. We're getting ready to let them take it from us in order to develop it. But in order to do their process, they've got to make a bunch of calls to the plumber and the electrician. And, you know, they need to be able to act as our agent in order to engage in those conversations. It doesn't mean anything gets done, but it's just sort of legal permission to talk as if they're the owners. Is that basically what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's basically it. And any final decision still has to come back to the board. But,
got
yes, that is it exactly.
Okay, perfect. Outstanding. Ferry Pass Fire Station 7 is being donated by... We don't own it. It's the volunteers own it. But I thought that was a full-time professional crew that worked out there. So what's going on here? This is an interesting story to me.
So you'll see some of these older stations that were all volunteer back in the day. And Ferry Pass is professional. I should say career.
They're I know the volunteers don't like the word professional because they're all professionals, right? Yeah. Obviously, so
they're all professional, but right. it is a career station. But the building itself is owned by the Volunteer Association, if you will. And so what's taking place is the volunteers are giving us the building that officially makes it ours, and we can officially do, not that we haven't been making repairs and such, but it kind of legitimizes the process of us being able to do things with the building, ownership of the building, clear title to the building, and all of those things.
Okay.
And that's what that is.
Okay. All right. So this is, in a lot of ways, this is a formality that just reflects the current reality that wasn't there before when it was an all-volunteer station.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got a $1.3 million design spend for the John R. Jones Field renovations, the $25 million project that the county has already previously approved. This is just design, right? This is the get us from here to there kind of portion of the process.
Right. This is just design. We did about four negotiations on this design RFP. So a lot of hard work went into it, but yeah, that's what this is. It's the award of the design.
And out of a $25 million project, my recollection is that 10% ish is kind of the usual parameters. The higher the value of the project, maybe that percentage goes down a little bit, but this is only about 5% of the project value. So that seems like it's actually coming in somewhat low. Then again, we're not building buildings so much as we're just, you know, laying turf and renovating some of the stormwater. But am I right that usually 10% is about normal for design, so this is actually below that?
Yeah, that's right. 10% is a good estimate when you're
okay
on the front end estimate projects.
Another issue that is on the agenda today is the animal ordinance. Now, I didn't see a strike-through version, which I certainly do not have our animal ordinance memorized, so I'm hoping you can help me understand what some of the changes are. This is brought by John from the Animal Services, right? But you tell me, what are some of the changes to expect in this animal ordinance?
Well, some of it is lining up with new state laws, just updating the ordinance as a whole. I think the biggest thing that will maybe draw the most attention will be the use of leashes. And I know we have a leash law now, but there are some instances where folks say, well, I can control my dog via voice and we don't need leashes. And we still have a lot of questions when it comes to dogs in parks. You know, why do I have to have my dog? Number one, we have dog parks. So your dog shouldn't be in our parks,
right?
Outside of the dog parks. For obvious reasons.
Is that true that you're not supposed to have dogs at all in the other parks, or you can only have them if they're on a leash?
Only on a leash.
Okay, got it. Go ahead.
So we have a lot of people that that don't like to do that.
Right.
And, you know, you may have a great animal. You may have a great pet. Sweet as the day is long, but you just never know. You know, a little kid comes up, another dog comes by, and maybe the dog's having a bad day. And then you have a situation that's not good for anybody. So that's probably the change that will probably draw the most attention, and you may hear about a little bit more. But the rest of them are really just things keeping up with state statutes and changes to the law, state laws, and just bringing us up to date.
You know, only because, as you know, my wife and I, we go bike riding all the time, and we've long since finished Escambia County, riding everywhere in Escambia County, but the same problems we run into everywhere. Dogs in the country, people do not like to keep their dogs on leashes in the country. They let them roam free, but you're not supposed to have a dog that's going to, your dog can be, you tell me what the rule is. Your dog can be not, like if a dog comes into the right of way and comes towards a person, you're actually probably a misdemeanor, at least a code violation, but you tell me, dogs are supposed to be leashed. What is the rule for, you know, dogs in open yards without a fence?
Dogs in open yards without a fence, as long as they have a barrier to keep them out of the right-of-way and out of the roadway and from being able to charge people walking down the road and such, I think they're fine. If they come out of that yard and charge somebody walking down the road, well, you're going to be in violation. And we're going to come out and do an investigation, possibly cite you, depending on how bad the situation gets. We could, take the dog or take the animal and go through that process, which we don't want to have to do. But I think, you know, you have these invisible fences, if you will, that you see a lot of people utilize. And I think as long as the dog is in the yard, isn't able or doesn't leave the yard to go charge somebody walking down the street, I think you're fine.
All I know is that I have developed a very acute sense of which dogs are dangerous, which dogs are not, and whether they're likely to come or not come off of the property when we're biking past. And I am sure that if, I know code enforcement can't possibly get to all the violations, but I am sure that if that were really, really rigorously enforced, there would be hundreds or even thousands of homeowners who would find themselves to be in violation of those rules, not just here, but everywhere in Northwest Florida and into Alabama as well. You're buying some ambulances. They're cheap, right? They're only the cost of a house, $300,000, $294,000 a piece, right?
Yeah, and these ambulances are on the ground, and we can get them rather quickly. And, I'm extremely proud of our EMS folks and our fire folks there and in public safety. We've done a great job, I feel like anyway, of really making some great strides over there. As far as number of ambulances, number of paramedics, number of EMTs, firefighter personnel, apparatus. We really have turned the corner and starting to gain a lot of momentum over there. So proud of those guys. We had a good first responder Sunday there at Marcus Point Baptist Church. I appreciate them for recognizing our first responders. But they're really hitting on all cylinders over there right now. They really are.
So are we, when we get these, do we already have the staff for them? Are we hiring positions to go along with the ambulances?
We will have the staff and put them on the road.
Okay. And are these, sorry, go ahead.
No, these are conventional box type ambulances. I think there may be one transport ambulance in there, but the four main ones will be your traditional box type ambulances.
And these are addition, not replacement, right?
That is exactly right.
Very good. Outstanding. Oh, on that note, the ECAT input session, did that pass or is that still upcoming?
Summit? We had an input session there at Brownsville.
Yes.
I don't know, a month ago maybe now.
Oh, it's already passed.
And,
okay.
So it's passed and we're working our plan. You're going to see us start to take some of the big buses not out of service, but you're going to see a route change. We're going to start using smaller vehicles on some of the routes that have traditionally had the big buses, and we are in the process of that as we speak.
I mean, I see Flex Transit vans all the time, all the time. And,
yep,
we've talked about this many times. I love the idea of replacing, what used to be kind of the standard bus, which is not necessary for a lot of the routes and times, with anything smaller that's more cost-effective for fuel, for price itself, selling off some of the other buses. I mean, I'm a fan. I think a more well-tailored public transit system certainly makes sense for Escambia County. And, I've been a big supporter of you guys moving towards that. Ferry Pass Community Center cameras, what's this all about?
So we've had some issues there at Ferry Pass, believe it or not. It's a great community center and a great asset. But as with a lot of things, you got to keep an eye on it. And we've had experience of vandalism and folks trying to break in and such. And so we're going to put some cameras up. We're going to give the sheriff access to the cameras to help us curb some of that activity.
It's like the real-time crime center.
Mm-hmm. But let me say this. We're going to give the sheriff access to almost every camera we have if we're able to. It's a community thing. I think it makes the community safer, helps us monitor our assets and activities that go on in parks and community centers and various venues around the county that are ours. And so I appreciate the sheriff being willing to do that.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, by the way, I don't think you and I haven't talked in so long. I did manage to go visit the Carpenter Creek Headwaters Park. Looks great. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It really is. I love the little trails, some of the nature trails, the trail around the main park. When I was there, there must have been, 50 people using it at that time. I just think the county is hungry for, good quality parks with nice amenities, walking paths and all that kind of stuff. So well done to you and your team on that. Last thing, I had thought Commissioner Hoffberger had said that the local option sales tax renewal, which actually is in, it expires in 2 years. I had thought she said that was going to be on today's agenda, but I don't see it there. Do you expect that to be When is that going to be scheduled? And what about the Children's Trust? When is that going to be scheduled?
So I think you'll see a Children's Trust item on the May 21st agenda.
Okay.
And you'll see a local option sales tax item, to advertise a public hearing. The public hearing will take place in June. And this is to basically approve the ballot language and to authorize a placement onto the general election.
Okay.
Coming up.
Okay, so we are going to get that this year.
Yeah, I do believe you'll see that on the general election.
Okay.
Local option sales tax is a big thing. It brings in about $68 million a year right now is what that represents. So over 10 years, that's $680 million. And we do a lot of work, you know, $100 million in infrastructure, more than that in drainage, $65 million in public safety, and another $65, $70 million in parks. And all the other economic development, all the other things that local option sales tax helps us with as a community, it's vital. It really is. We've accomplished a lot of good work with it, and we want to continue to do that.
Yeah, very good. And obviously, you know, that's something that's been very important to our economy and, you know, generating revenue not entirely on the backs of citizens. And, you know, I'm sure we'll have good conversations about all of that. I got a text in here. Somebody said the Flex Transit has been a godsend for my handicapped mother. So just, you know, that is something that people are using, great, enjoying, and certainly appreciating it as an alternative. Wes Brenner, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, again, great to have you back. Glad you're feeling better. Happy birthday. And we look forward to the meeting today and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.